As we all know, you are not a simple man, like the Lynyrd Skynyrd song says. You are not a simple
man. Isn't that the guy who played Spock?
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Yes. What is this?
I am recording.
Masterclass?
What?
Why did you send me a Masterclass YouTube video?
I didn't.
Oh, is that the ad? My screen's acting funny. Hold on.
Come on, David. Get with the times. You know how YouTube works.
You know, back in my day, YouTube didn't have ads. Now I got to sit through two of these.
Yeah, you can skip them. You know,
this is like Timberland teaches
Timberland
producing and beat making.
You know, I saw an ad for a masterclass this morning. I remember back in the day. It seems at this point where the masterclass classes were actually taught by actual masters. and it's such a,
like Chess Master. I know what you mean.
It's such a popular video series that they are churning these things out. And I think they're still finding masters, but they are getting desperate on some of these. I mean, seriously. I mean, can a masterclass truly be taught by a non-master? That's a question, I think, because it lessens what it means to be a master, in my opinion. But that's just all I wanted to say.
If a masterclass is released in a forest and no one is around to, this is just Pink Floyd. Why?
Yeah. What's the name of the song? I'm asking you. What's the name of the song?
You're asking, I have to play it? Hold on. YouTube is like really broken right now. I know I shouldn't have installed 10.15.5 beta 1.
I've been telling you that for years.
Just say something.
It's Pink Floyd. The intros can be a bit lengthy.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to get this right. I've listened to this whole album through exactly one time.
The title is in the first line. Have you gotten to the first line yet?
Well, no, I started skipping ahead because I was tired. I just want to record our show.
I am recording. I remembered. Yes, the title.
Hey, I'm proud of you.
As soon as I hear that, I know exactly what to do. It's Hey You by Pink Floyd. And I was trying to get your attention.
That's the name of the video.
The name of the song. Yes.
Right, but the video title was Hey
which
You.
Which is indicative of what it is that you're about to watch, which is a song called Hey You.
That's what I thought.
Floyd.
But then when you asked me the
Does
question,
really
I thought it can't possibly
be
hard.
I sent you a link to a YouTube video entitled Hey You, which is...
I still don't understand why you did this.
Trying to get your attention because we're a little late starting today. So,
no, we start at 5:45 now, remember? Or 4:45, your time.
We did agree to that. I forgot.
Yeah, because you were always like, you forgot to wear pants. You were like buttoning up your shirt, running off to get a drink because you were never quite ready on time. And I was like, why don't we just push it back 15 minutes? That makes it easier for me,
too. Oh, that's hilarious. I tried hard to be ready on... I was ready at 4:15 today, sitting here looking over notes. I'm all ready to go.
Are you still coughing? Good grief, man.
Dude, when I get stuff, it takes me about a month.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk like that. I sound like my mom.
No, I'm not. Don't misread me. It takes me about a month to recover from the hard stuff. So I'm coughing for about a month. You missed You missed probably the most epic cough fit. And I was recording it. And
oh, good.
You were not here. I just want...
Can we put it in at the end?
Yeah.
Or maybe like I'll say something profound and then you can cough a lot.
Oh, great. Yeah. that's the newer form of flogging. Just David talking and me coughing. All right. Well, let's get our show started. So today I'm in charge of the intro and we're going to do a bit of an a la carte free form flowing thing for our intro today. We're going to do a couple different topics. None of them are related, but we're just going to riff. Okay. Is that all right with you?
Riff. So this is, you didn't have a good idea and we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Had to clarify that, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yep.
And
I want everybody to know that it's your fault.
First up on our list of Jim didn't prepare for an intro. So we're just going to do this instead. I'm going to try and make you mad. Are you ready? All right, good.
So you're going to make me mad? Like mad like a hatter?
Yep, mad like a hatter.
Are you going to slip mercury in my drink?
I've done it, and you're immune to it, apparently. So the many times I've tried to end your life, it's not worked. So first on the list, I'm going to make you mad So I'm going to show you this.
Silly Baptist. Traps are for Presbyterians.
Traps are best made by Presbyterians. So this is my phone. You see this here. This is yes. clearly a non-cool phone. This is an Android ish phone and not an Apple phone. Are you at least going to agree with me there?
Yes.
This phone is not an Apple phone. Okay. So I have utilized up until now. My earbuds aren't here. You see these things in the camera? These earphones?
Yeah, yeah.
These are just for exercise, which clearly they're just fantastically unused for me. But these are for exercise because they stay on your ear really well. Earbuds, they don't stay in your ear very well when you're exercising. So I use these.
Yep, yep.
I also use these for when you and I talk because I haven't invested in a pair of headphones yet. Well, I wanted to finally untether myself when it came to my earbuds and my phone. And I wanted to venture into the world of Bluetooth thingies. Ear thingies.
Mm, well said.
And I went straight to the store. This is when you could do this. Went straight to the store because I knew exactly what I wanted. And I had money in my pocket. I just needed a place. I needed a person to give my money to. And do you know what I bought? Jim's gonna pop
some tags. Got $20. What's that? You didn't buy AirPods, did you? AirPods, look at you.
Do you like them? I love these things. I absolutely love them.
They're life-changing.
Now, I will say, I bought the first generation. I had available to me the second generation. I think I'm only losing out on about an hour of talk time on phone.
Music, the big differences are when you're running them on Apple devices anyway.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, there's a processor, I think, in these that work better with Apple phones and Android phones.
Yeah.
But, I mean, would I even notice? No.
Well, so the primary reason that I like it is because I can just switch the earbuds, Bluetooth connection between my laptop, my iPhone, and my iPad without any issues. I just click a button or tap a thing. But yeah, anyway, keep going. Sorry.
So I purchased and use AirPods with my Android phone. I thought you were going to flip out. Because like you would just say, Jim, why didn't you just get a stupid iPhone? You have to get your AirPods, but you bought a stupid little dinky Android phone. And you're just Mr. Relaxed over there. What is the altitude done?
I mean, you finally bought something Apple. And the fact that you love it makes you that much more likely to buy an iPhone next time. You're learning.
True. Yeah, that's my next phone.
Baby steps, Jim.
That didn't go as well as I thought. But moving on. Next topic on Jim's phantasmagorical collection of intro things.
Is this also going to make me angry?
No, none of this.
Why aren't these in the intro section? That makes me angry.
Good point. Yeah, I just put these on. I just put these at the end for me. This is just for me. You don't need to know things.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I read them because I got an email about them.
You did? You got an email? Oh, yeah. I turned that off for myself. Sorry about that.
I know. I need to turn that off. I'm trying to get to inbox zero.
Okay, good. Next up, I think I might have diabetes. Here's why.
did you get an eye exam?
No. No. What?
They can tell you. They scan the inside of your eye with that machine, and then they can tell you if you have diabetes or not.
Wow, technology.
Back in my day, they had to poke my eye to know that.
Back in my day, they had to feed you jelly beans for years until they knew you had it. Well, no.
Yeah, now with soda, it's so much easier.
So, my wife told me that there's a sign that you'll know that you're probably going to have diabetes if you start drinking lots of liquids. Like a ton, like
you're close
to dehydration all the time. Well, it's because you're up in the mountains and you get dehydrated quicker up there.
I did it in Spokane too.
Oh, okay.
I might drink. I know I drink more than a gallon of water a day.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Great health benefits to doing that, by the way. Jim, there's health benefits to drinking water, not diabetes. Could you please write that down? It's important to me.
I drink around a gallon a day. Anyway.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have this habit that I don't know if this is psychological or if it's because I actually have diabetes, but I generally speaking have 1 to 3, maybe 4 drinks at one time that I consume. They're not always in the same place, but they might be in separate areas of the house. And I just kind of travel to these locations to consume this liquid. And I like to have like a bunch. So I have on my desk for you and I today, I have my Green Bay Packer coffee mug with tea to help with my voice.
Oh, nice, nice. When are you going to do the thing, Jim?
Oh, I keep forgetting. I'm sorry.
I could have had Bill Hassinger send you apple cider vinegar by now, and you would have it.
I am so sorry. I completely forgot. I am finishing off a magnificent bastard Scotch ale.
Oh,
beer.
I love that you like Scotch ale. Look at you go.
This is because of you.
Does it have any peated taste to it?
No, I don't think so. It's very stoutish, this one.
I've been meaning to try one of those at some point.
This is magnificent. This is wonderful. So yeah, Magnificent Bastard Scotch Ale. And I
believe that every time you say it.
No, should I?
Or just once. Just once.
Okay. All right. And I have also some single malt here in a tumbler.
Oh, look at that. What kind?
The Deanston single malt. It's a Highland single malt, 12 years old. One of the best sherried malts out there. Cheers. So pretty sure I have diabetes because I have three drinks I'm utilizing during this show. You have two.
Yeah, you should go to the eye doctor. I have, I'm like you. I like to be drinking like all the time throughout the day, but I just put water in my Hydro Flask and carry it around with me. Sorry, Hydro Flask. And I oop.
Thank you. Someone was going to say something. Next up.
Oh, and if you were wondering, this is just Buffalo Trace.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. So, do some tea here. All right, next up on the list, I was on YouTube and stumbled upon a Picard clip. I could not resist clicking on this clip. I haven't done so thus far because I want to watch the show. But we just got rid of CBS. We just got rid of CBS, so I need to kind of wait a little.
What is wrong with you?
It was for a different thing. Don't yell at me. Don't.
Your timing,
me.
Jim. The series is over now.
So I clicked the season is over. Clip that said Picard and Riker, and I could not resist. I clicked on it, and it was at the
literally the oh my! You can't put this in the show. People are going to watch the show.
I will believe this. I guess I can't talk about it at all. So let me just say this.
Well, you can talk to me about it. It just was a not clip on the show
of Picard and Riker, and I almost cried. I am such a Star Trek fan. I almost cried when I watched it. Oh, I am such a loser nerd. This is where I am not a nerd. I don't fit in with nerds. Well, I do, I guess, kind of. I like them, but I don't really have a lot of nerd credentials. I have 60 comic books, you know.
I have zero comic books.
I used to read comic books a ton. And I like
unless you count Calvin and Hobbes.
But I am such a massive Star Trek fan. In fact, I think I'm more of a Star Trek fan than Star Wars.
Star Wars is not a Star Trek fan.
If anyone questions my credibility when it comes to being a nerd, I will always say I cry when I see Picard and Riker on the same screen. Next up on the list, Christy and I are
Jim, absolutely... this series is going to make you cry a bunch.
Oh, probably.
If that's the case.
Because there's lots of genuine dramatic story or narrative, or because there's a lot of nostalgia?
There's, I guess, both. I think they pick up on themes from TNG that until they picked up on them, I didn't realize they were happening in TNG. But when they started to point it out and some of the characters talked about these things, specifically about Picard and his relationships with his crew members, that kind of thing.
Right.
You're like, oh my gosh, that is who Picard is.
Nice. So they're doing this well, in other words.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that I was not crazy about, but overall, I'm just happy that it exists.
Great. Well, you know me. It
beats
me
The Force Awakens.
What doesn't, you know? No. So Christy and I am loving English TV. I am absolutely loving English TV. Amazon Prime has a ton of it. Have you ever watched any sort of English produced or UK produced drama? There's a lot of
some comedy
shows. Comedy, okay. Like what? Other than The Office,
IT Crowd. I never actually watched the British Office. IT Crowd, obviously Monty Python, Fawlty Towers.
It's a little bit.
There's others, but this was years ago.
Yeah. Not like full on. Let's watch a few British drama or television dramas.
I did
get into it.
Let me think. I've seen all of Doctor Who for one thing.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that counts. Yeah, that's BBC.
And then there's a series also with David Tennant called Broadchurch.
You like Broadchurch? Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. About this.
I liked it too. I saw the first season, haven't seen the second.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that counts. Okay, all right. So you're with me. I'm loving English TV right now. Absolutely.
And I've seen Harry Potter with Mr. Darcy and in the Abbey that's downtown.
Mr. Darcy, who is that a thing that the women like? Is that what the heck is her name? What the heck is her name? Oh, for Pete's
Christy?
Sake.
No.
Careful. Don't make me. No, the Pride and Prejudice and the Sense and Sensibility. Oh, is that what that's from? Mr. Darcy?
Catherine Janeway? Janeway Austen.
Captain Janeway Austen, writer of Sense and Sensibility. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Is this, you're talking about Murder, She Wrote, right?
No. Mr. Darcy, isn't that a character from one of her Jane Austen's novels?
Yes, it is. I intentionally conflate Harry Potter, Jane Austen, and Downton Abbey.
Just for the fun of it, huh?
Yep. You can ask Sarah. I do this all the time. People give me weird looks.
Well, I've seen every episode of Downton Abbey. And you know what? I loved it. So I guess I'm not a nerd. That's why I'm not a nerd, because I love Star Trek. Cry when I see, I was going to say Piker and Ricard, Riker and Picard, but I love watching Downton Abbey and adjusting my fashion. All right. So last topic on Jim's haphazard phantasmagorical list of things, because he didn't prepare an intro. I'm feeling really isolated in my work from home situation. So I'm going to reach out to you for emotional help. You are going to provide me with emotional help, something that you've never done before, but you have a chance to do today. So, yeah, I'm not liking it, man. It might just be because of where I am. I am situated in my laundry room / storage room in a corner with a small window. I hate it. Not doing well, feeling very isolated. It's actually affecting my emotional state. I think it's affecting my productivity as well. You've been working from home for quite a long time. You are a lonely man. You are a solitary man, a man who works by himself. And how have you kind of gotten through this? Or have you thrived from this, perhaps from the beginning? Or have you actually had to grow into it? You know, what about that?
So I think it's definitely been more of a case of thriving. What I will say is things that have helped me feel less isolated or and it's not socially isolated. It's more just like you spend a lot of time in the same room. Sometimes I just grab my computer, unplug it from its docking station, and sit down in the living room, assuming that the living room is you know, relatively distraction free. Just going to different places. I've even worked in my bed for an hour here or there.
Nice.
Which I try not to do very much, because being in your bed when it's not sleep time is not a great thing. So I've done maybe like half a dozen times in the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's totally understandable.
And usually it's because I'm fed up with being in the office and the living room is not available. So another thing that has helped me, that you know how every once in a while back when I lived in Spokane, I would message you and be like, I'm downtown, and like somebody's peeing on a radiator.
as they are wont to do in downtown Spokane.
That's what I would do is I would go downtown, because there's something about being around a lot of people.
You would pee on radiators? What? Or go downtown?
There's something about peeing around a lot of people.
There's just something about it, folks.
No, but there's something about being around a lot of people that you have no social obligation to talk with, but that you're around. Like, it feels, at least for me as an introvert, I feel like I'm getting, I don't know. There's this weird feeling when you're inside too much where you feel like, am I like a basement cave dwelling mouth breather? Is that what's happening here? Like, should I be like worried about my teeth and... But I also don't want to go like to a place and talk to people necessarily, especially because, you know, I do have to work. But just like grabbing my laptop and going to the library downtown, or grabbing my laptop and working at Starbucks for a little bit, that would be really helpful. But even just walking around downtown, I imagine it would even be helpful now if you just went to Riverfront Park, maintained social distancing, but saw people who are not your family and just saw them out and about. I imagine that might be helpful to you. You could also go to any number of parks that are scattered throughout Spokane.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Oh, by the way, folks, David and I have to do a Spokane thing. Just relax for a little bit. Some friends of ours that you used to know, still know, they went downtown for just a walk recently during our shutdown. And they said it was wonderful. It was lovely because everybody was gone. All the homeless people were gone because the people are gone that they get money from and various other supplies.
So yeah, what are they doing?
It was like old school downtown Spokane. It was awesome. So I just wanted to let you know that maybe if you were to take a stroll in downtown Spokane now, it would just be a life-changing experience for you. But yeah, okay, I hear you. So like changing your scenery, not necessarily refilling your social tank, but being around people that you don't need to engage with, but nevertheless, there's people there.
Yep.
So those are good things. Oh, awesome. Yeah. I try to take a walk every day.
Good. Yeah, that's helpful. Seems to help.
Gets outside, get the sun on me, some vitamin D. I listen to sometimes a little bit of music if I have some admin stuff to do. I try to do that to kind of get me to a different place. Well, that's good. Well, then, I've come to find out that I don't think I'm a work from home guy or work by myself kind of guy. Had a number of jobs in my past that I've worked by myself and that's gotten to me. So yeah, I guess I've learned that about, and we have to do this for the rest of the month. So that's going to be wonderful to behold. So
you may find that as you adapt to it, it gets easier. I mean,
yeah,
thing is, Jim, I don't know how rigid your hours are, because this is an important part. If working from home is going to work well, it's important to be able to decide to take a long lunch and play ping pong with your kids. Mm-hmm. And if you start to leverage those sorts of things where I don't know what your schedule is, whether you're allowed to finish the day a little late because at 10 a.m. you were bored and decided to go hunt squirrels with your oldest son.
There is that freedom.
But doing little things like that, that's the advantage of working from home, because there's no startup and shutdown time in terms of like you have to come home to do it and then go back to the office. Like you're just home.
Yeah.
And if you schedule things like that throughout your week, and you don't have to do it that often, but you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going to do something fun for an hour at lunch or whatever. That can be a really cool way to leverage the situation. And you may find that you love it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all good things. Yeah. Good idea. I do have some of that flexibility afforded to me. So might have to think about doing that. All right. Well, this intro was brought to you courtesy of Jim not planning well.
And so, COVID-19.
And COVID-19. So,
do you know what the 19 is for?
Because I heard it was because there are other COVIDs.
And, yes. But it's not the 19th. It's the one that we discovered in 2019.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like learning a magic trick. It's like it's obvious and you feel like a dumb... You feel like a doom cough for learning it.
A what?
It's a German for dumb.
Oh, come on. Well, why would you say that?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Our German listeners who are upset that we don't have title markers are going to be really upset.
Craig is going to be so upset. Our German speaking listener in Australia is going to be so upset that I just chapter said a swear word. Yeah. A what?
Chapter markers. Germans really love when podcasts have chapter markers. I don't know why.
Well, we'll have to work on that one. All right.
That's like the only thing I know about Germans. That and that no German could ever be evil.
Hold on.
I learned that from The Simpsons.
Let me write this down. You've been watching a lot of Simpsons lately.
Real-time follow-up.
What?
I just got an email from my two pastor-to-be that they're doing Zoom for the membership class.
Okay.
Going to be a member soon.
Hey. Are they finally going to trust you? Have you proven your worth to them?
They already made me admin of their Facebook page.
Okay. That's when you know it's real in the Presbyterian world. All right.
Well, I was just shocked. I was like, well, I'm not a member. I've been coming here for like a month and a half, but if I'm going to do the live stream, like I just need admin access to the, you already gave it to me.
All right. That was good. But their membership
we can't do real time follow up though. I mean, we can, but we have to get into the rest of this follow up, Jim, we have to start the show.
Do you want to just do that in follow up or keep that there?
I think it's fine. You can keep this there too. Yeah, okay, it's all good.
Let's just start the show. How about that? Let's start the show.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your etymologically fallacious co-host, David, short for Davidio. And sitting across the country from me at a contractually negotiated 804 miles is my genetically fallacious co-host, Jim Briggs, if that is his real last name.
Well, let me check my birth certificate. Bingo. All right. Hey, we're here. This is
awesome. Appeal to authority.
I never know what show we're on because, oh, thank you. I never know what show we're on when you introduce the show.
It's 86. So I think
we're 86? Man, I feel.
I think so.
I just feel like celebrating. Isn't that just a wonderful feeling? We're 86. Yep, our show is that old. So many podcasts start and peter out, but we're still going.
Indeed.
And, if only our listenership would reflect that longevity. Hey, we're there. We're here. And we're going to go ahead and start this show. I believe before, I don't have anything before follow-up. So why don't we go ahead and get started? I have a couple of items. So why don't you go ahead and start and I'll, you start, I'll finish. You all dial, right, so I'll hang up.
David Latchett called me out. I should
well,
point out,
he should.
I have never taken a formal logic course and it definitely shows as we do this show.
And how?
He told me that I kept calling deduction, induction. No, wait. Let me just read what he says. I'm pretty sure David keeps getting deduction and induction mixed up. Also, some of what he thinks is induction and calls deduction is really abductive reasoning.
A thing I have never heard of before. Is he playing with you or is that a thing?
Well, it is a thing. And I think okay. He's probably right. I looked up each of these terms and then I realized he's Dr. David Latchett. I don't need to check his work. So
I never do.
There's that.
I never have. And I never will.
Next point of follow-up here is, so I'm sorry for that, guys. Back to the abduction thing. I'm very bad at logic in the formal terms. Let's see. Did Jim say hi to small group for, we were in the same small group just before I left. And yes. That's why I keep telling Jim to say hi. Did you say hi last time, Jim?
Hold on. I'm getting nervous. I just hit my mic stand. No,
you're writing it down for this time.
I'm writing it down. I promise you, I will do it today. I promise
they're gonna
you.
Think I'm just a jerk. Like the people who listen to the show, they're going to be like, "Why doesn't David say hi? He records with Jim right before the podcast." Also, they're Yiddish now.
You, thank you. I was just about to say that, David. When did you become Yiddish?
Oi, why doesn't he say hi?
Say hello. Spatula. Why don't you do that? Long time no talk. Spatula. I promise I will do that. As soon as we log off, as they say, and log into our Zoom info small group meeting, I will say David says hello to you all and wishes you all
hi.
Stop being the way you are.
That's true. Let's see. Next up is I was saying leadership. Leadership is the word that Michael Scott refers to as having its derivation or having ship as its derivation or having ship inside of it as its derivation. Next up is a repeat of the one that I already wrote down. Next up is, I think at one point I said genetical fallacies last episode and I just wanted to laugh at that. Next up is Jim, you asked me if I agreed on Servetus, if Calvin had lit the match himself and killed many others in like manner, if I would be upset. And the answer is yes. But not because I don't think Servetus deserved to die or that it wasn't anybody's place to kill him, but simply because Calvin is a minister and not a civil magistrate was in no place to do that, which would make it murder.
That's it?
Yep.
Disappointed, but not surprised. All right. my point is, I'm going to quote from Ben Robin here. Ben Robin called me out on a thing, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. Jim said genetic fallacies can be true when what he meant was that someone could use a genetic fallacy to try and prove something that is true, but the fallacy is still fallacious and doesn't prove the thing. And I say, Ben, you are correct. Thank you for correcting me on that. That's a good thing. I said that a couple times, probably. And I want that to be corrected in today's follow-up. All right. Next up on the follow-up list for Jim. Hey folks, guess what? We are getting our Facebook page back up and running.
That's
we
true.
Have been, we are 80 some episodes into this ding dang podcast that will never ever stop recording. And we only have 110 listeners to show for it. Now,
you mean 110 people like our Facebook page?
Likes. Yeah, we have more than that. More people listen than that, but only 9 more. No, we only have 110 likes on our Facebook page. So, folks, hey, come on. You know, if you listen to our show and you like it and you haven't liked our Facebook page, Let Us Form a Flogging Podcast on Facebook, then just, you know, stop being so selfish. Stop. Stop being so selfish. Get over there and like that page. Like that sucker and get on with your life. Okay? That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
I'm talking to you, David. You still haven't liked our show.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's good. No, yeah, folks, we're trying to get things back up and running, social media wise, inbound marketing wise on our show. We've been kind of neglecting it for so long. And these little whippersnapper podcasts that are have 20 episodes have like 4,000 likes on their page. And I think that's because they have better programming. No, that's not what I mean. They're just we need to show them who's boss. So please, listeners, if you like the show, like the page, and we're posting content on it more often. If you see something funny, like it, comment on it, but share it. If you see something funny, share it. We're putting lots of comedy. We're putting comedy on there, David. Mm-hmm, comedy, mm-hmm. All things for the sake of comedy, and we need our listeners to help us out there. So like us on Facebook, won't you please? Won't you please do it? And do it today. David, that's all I have for follow-up. Do you have anything more?
Just that this is, there are issues with the recording today, it is in part because my internet has dropped at times this week to below 1 megabit per second. There are 8 megabits in a megabyte for reference here.
Just so you know the scale. We are, David occasionally reverts to pre-1995 internet speeds.
Well, basically DSL, like when you first got DSL, okay, and you were really excited to get DSL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like basically those twice dial up speeds.
That was exciting when that happened.
It was. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. I remember those days. And now we just want to rain heck fire when our internet speed drops below 50, you know, megabits per second. Is that accurate?
Well, megabits? I mean, I'm upset because our speeds are capped at 25 megabits per second. And it's fine for my work, but it's not ideal. Yeah. Like sometimes I need to download a gigabyte file and upload it to another server or whatever. Which don't tell me I can just SCP it from server to server. Sometimes that's not an option.
A thing I was just about to say.
I know. I've known you long, Jim.
Yes, there are things you know for sure about me. Yeah, that's weird. Is there a way to boost that, or are you just stuck
in the middle of nowhere, and our Wi-Fi is actually Wi-Fi. Like, you know how people get confused and they're like, oh, the Wi-Fi is down, when what they mean is the internet's down? Our Wi-Fi is actually an antenna on the house in which we live, pointed at another antenna with like laser focus. And the bandwidth on Wi-Fi is just relatively low, and everybody's staying at home streaming Netflix.
They
Netflix and chill, and we only get good internet when they're chilling. And I mean chilling in the literal sense there. It just occurs to me that some people might take that to not be literal, but
altitude is up there, it gets cold.
Okay, not that kind of chill. I just mean like hang out. Like
All right. This is what happens when I do a joke assist with David. I'm correcting. No, Jim, no. Anyways, well, let's go ahead and do our musical break, and we'll come back with our main topic.
All right. Do you want to play musical chairs during a musical break?
Let's do that.
How?
We'll figure it out. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, Dean Martin. When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dean Martin Show. We have a great show for you tonight. A lot of special guests. Wait, hold on. A little pop first before the jokes. I'm funnier when I have a little something in me.
Yeah, that's got it. That's got it good. Folks, don't worry, I don't drink anymore. I freeze it now and eat it like a popsicle. I really hate to be a teetotaler, folks. Imagine getting up in the morning and knowing that's as good as you're going to feel all day. Remember, folks, you're not drunk if you can lie on the floor without holding on. You know, I've got 7 kids now. The 3 words you hear most around my house are hello, goodbye, and I'm pregnant. Okay, I'd like to introduce now my special guests, Jim and David, from the Lightest Form of Vlogging podcast. Well, what kind of silly name is that for a show? And I've never heard of a podcast. What is that?
What? Jim, why did you book us with this guy?
He's up, David. That's Dean Martin, the king of cool. Haven't you ever heard of the Dean Martin celebrity roasts? This guy is our ticket, man.
He looks like he's about to fall down.
Shh, quiet. He knows Frank Sinatra.
I regret my relationship with you.
You'll thank me eventually. All right, that's enough talk, boys. Folks, be sure to download the Lightest Form of Vlogging City Show on your podcast app. Give it a listen and tell your friends about it. Volare! Oh! Cantare! Oh!
I feel so stupid right now.
You need to trust me, all right? And stop giving me that look.
Can we start the show? Dean Martin is breathing on me.
Hey, kid. You're going to go places. I can see it in your eyes. Hey.
Please help.
All right. We're back in the saddle again. Separate saddles, I might add, for David's sake.
We are back in the saddles again.
Yes, sir. So we're going to do... We're going to take a slight break from our Persuasion series, a series that could honestly keep going for a long period of time.
Yep.
As long as our listeners don't revolt, we're going to keep talking about that. But we're going to take a slight detour from that today.
David, they haven't revolted yet, but they have said that we are revolting.
Did I say that?
No. I'm just saying things. All
right. No, Jim.
It's a pun from Chicken Run.
The chickens are revolting. Finally, something we agree upon.
What a blast from the past. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Speaking of British TV and movies.
Yeah. And with, a quick trivia. Do you remember who voiced the American chicken?
Jim, I was like Rooster? 8 when that came out. No, I have no idea.
Oh. Well, I'm not asking you, do you remember back when you watched it when you were 8 years old? But since then, when you accumulate pop culture knowledge in your travels.
I don't do that.
You learned. Okay.
Was it James Tiberius Kirk?
No, it was Mel Gibson. Moving on. Right. No, seriously, Mel Gibson voiced the American chicken.
That makes a lot of sense. I really liked his performance there. I especially appreciated the passion of his performance.
Yes, and when he started yelling at the Jews. I think I honestly made David uncomfortable. That's par for the course. Mel said it, not me, okay? He's the one who did that, not me. I'm fine. I mean, I love them. this is a topic that David brought up in a texting exchange, texting exchange. So it seemed interesting to me. It was interesting to David. And that's the criteria that we need to talk about something. So go ahead, David.
So the topic is entitled Humans Are Bad at Stuff, which is interesting because Jim thought this was going to be about marital strife. I didn't realize he was more interested in that angle.
I was.
So I'll let you guide with the questions on that. I mean, I don't want to get
too much
deep into that because Ninth Commandment and stuff like that. Ninth Commandment applies to yourself as well. Did you know that?
didn't even wait to for me to answer. Did you know that, Jim? Oh, I guess you don't because, that's just you.
Oh, it wasn't for you. That was just a broad question, rhetorical question, I guess, for the listeners not answer because it was rhetorical. Anyway, so humans are bad at stuff. There are things that we as people are really good at, and there are things that we are really bad at. And recognizing that division is, I have found, very freeing. Recognizing freeing. I'm not bad at this because it's something I should be good at. and I'm just bad at it because I'm awful. I'm bad at it because humans are bad at this kind of thing.
Humans,
humans. That's what I mean is, like, this is by design. Like, so I mean, I guess I'll get into the Mauro of it. This started when I think this started when I was reading Getting so Things Done.
Controversial.
What?
The Mauro controversy. Just making a joke here. keep going. I'll just sit here and drink.
This started when I was reading Getting Things Done by David Allen, which is copyright David Cook 2001. And the book is basically about a system for keeping track of all the stuff that you have to do. So not necessarily like an app, you know, how like you'll get books. It's actually, I guess, a little bit like Guy with the Hand Disorder, the terminal hand illness, Tim Challey.
Oh, the penguin from Batman.
Yeah. Did he play that? Anyway,
Tim Challey's the Tim Challey's joke is much more funny.
So now I want to do deep fakes of like theologians in those Batman movies.
Okay. I'll leave you to it.
Anyway, so it's not about an electronic system. It's about, I guess, a philosophy of to-do lists and a philosophy of keeping track of all the stuff you have to do. So in Getting Things Done, no copyright intended, David Allen argues that brains are really good at some things, like inventing, creating, innovating, solving problems, but our brains are really bad data storage devices. And people run around trying to remember 100 different things in their head, letting things fall through the cracks all the time, blaming themselves and their forgetfulness. And his proposed solution, I'm going to speed through this part because it's not really what the show is about, but his proposed solution is to acknowledge that we're bad at remembering things and externalize our knowledge, could be paper, could be electronic, so that we can feel free to forget about it. It doesn't sound that groundbreaking, but his whole point is basically that when if you try to make sure that any time, any kind of task, anything to do is given to you, you write it down in a fixed system that you remember to check regularly when you want to know what you need to do, you won't forget anything because paper doesn't forget stuff.
True. All this is true. But like, how do you like, I have a commonplace book. I've told you about my I've told our listeners about my commonplace book. I write things down there all the time that I should be remembering. But, and I've sometimes utilized lists, but I don't remember to go to the commonplace book.
Yes.
So like, how do you get the system in place? How do you remember the system? How do you get to the system?
That's essentially what the book is about.
We're bad at remembering stuff. Okay, good.
Basically it comes down to setting a routine, setting a schedule. So like every day when it's time for you to work, you go to your book. Every day when it's time for you to come home and do home things, you go to your book. Yeah. You never think to yourself, oh, I wanted to do this thing. If you're thinking that thought, that means it's probably not in your system, which means there was a good chance that you weren't going to remember it. And that's kind
of right. Okay.
Go ahead.
Am I right in feeling bad that I'm really bad at that? Like I am.
Everybody is.
I don't have routine. So good. All right, good.
So the important part of his system actually is that you need to be absurdly religious about it. Have a system for capturing things you need to do, a system for categorizing those, for taking those items and categorizing them, and then a system for reviewing around 3 times a week everything that you've actually written down, and specifically eliminating things from their list that you know you're not actually going to do. So if you've looked at a thing that's like trim the dishwasher, and you've seen it 5 times, and you're just like, I'm probably never going to get around to doing that because dishwashers don't need trimmed. You need to remove that from your list because the more items that you have on your list that are things that you're not actually going to do or things that you're just going to keep putting off and putting off and putting off, it's not useful. The list becomes less and less useful the more clutter there is in it. So the reviews, the part of the reviewing system is eliminating things and deciding, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. That way what you have functionally is a relevant list of things that you need to do and that you're actually going to do. And you can trust that list because you only ever keep track of the things that you're going to do on that list. But this is starting to break into the copyright from 2001 that David Cook has on the Getting Things Done system, written by David Allen. So I don't want to get too far into this. No copyright intended. But the
saying that
it's a Merlin Mann bit.
All right.
The thing that impacted me the most specifically from this book was that I am bad by virtue of being human at certain things, and I should not even try to do them. My brain is bad at remembering stuff, and so I should outsource that to something that's better. Like, we already do this with calculators. Like, nobody sits down and thinks, you know, I need to divide 984,387,245 by 7,892.443 repeating. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do that in my head. Like at the very least, you're going to get out a piece of paper. Probably you're just going to use a calculator. Like there are some things that we're okay with not being good at anymore. And then there are some things that like, because reasons like social norms, maybe, or pressure from people who do actually happen to be weirdly good at them. We feel like we should be able to do the thing. And so we keep trying and not outsourcing it, not building a system to make sure that it gets done, I guess.
My wife needed to do that exact calculation the other day and she used a calculator and I just kind of said, oh, you need that, huh?
Yeah, I know. I was listening in because you have Zoom installed on your computer.
Right. Some privacy issues there. Yeah, you're right. No one gets on those people for doing that.
Right. So you shouldn't feel bad about that. Like you shouldn't feel bad about the fact that you're bad at remembering things. And when you stop feeling bad about it, you're kind of freed, I guess, to build a system that does it for you. And well, getting things done is one way of doing that. But setting reminders on your phone, like you mentioned, do you want to talk about that actually?
No. The phone thing has been helpful for me because it brings a reminder to me.
Right, right.
But that's kind of cheating, isn't it? Because I am not putting very, very much effort. In fact, I'm not putting any effort in at all into referencing my system. I'm bringing the system to me. So I am no longer putting in the effort or work that one must do in order to reference their list and be on top of things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cheating, isn't it?
So there's three kinds of tasks. And I think this is, some of this comes from David Allen. Some of this comes from other podcasts and things I've listened to. But one kind of task is a task that needs to be done sometime. Like it does need to be done, but if it goes 3 years without being done, that's okay. Another is a kind of task that has a particular deadline, which it's like, this needs to be done by next Tuesday. And as long as it's done anytime between now and next Tuesday, we're fine. And then there are other kinds of tasks that are tasks that need to be done at a particular time. So it's not okay for you to, if it's supposed to happen Tuesday at 2, it's not okay for you to do it Monday at 1 because that doesn't work. Right. And the example that you brought up, your daughter with her asthma, that's a thing that needs to happen. There's a little bit of a range there, but it needs to happen at a particular time. And the system getting things done doesn't really help with things that need to be done at a particular time. That's what alarms are for, to-do lists are for, calendar event reminders are for.
That's a great distinction. I like hearing that. Makes me feel better because I feel like I don't have the personality that's needed in order to check my system. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a personality thing. It seems like it's just something that you just have to do. Well, you just have to grow a routine. Well, I do think there are some people that are just better at this than others because
of
inherent quality. Because it has always been a struggle for me to bring the routine or to develop a routine to check my lists. I can make a list. And I can check off things on that list. But getting to the list after I put it away, I've never been good at that. And I'm wondering if it's a personality thing. Like some people just say, well, just check your list every morning and make it a habit. Well, I have so much trouble doing that.
Right.
I think it's because of my personality. Others say, well, it's just a matter of developing a routine. Well, if it's that, then I just feel really stupid because if that's all I needed to do, then I am just one hot mess of a human being because I've never been good at utilizing my lists or systems. I just don't do it. I'd rather have it on my phone or something like that. So yeah, I've always thought it was a personality thing.
I think you would find getting things done interesting because part of it, I think, may be personality.
Jim, your life will change once you start getting stuff done.
Actually, I remember asking somebody, have you heard of getting things done? And then going, wait, that was not as passive aggressive as it was supposed as it may have sounded.
Once they got your attention.
Oh, man. Because one of the things he argues is that the source of things for you to do, what developers would call the source of truthiness, needs to be one. There needs to be exactly one place that you go all of the time to decide what you're going to do next.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem that a lot of people come to this with is that their inbox is their to-do list and that piece of paper by their desk and their post-its are their to-do list. And they have these scattered to-do lists. Some of them exist as physical reminders in the real world. Some of them exist as lists some of them exist as nagging friends, like, and until you decide that, like, no, I'm not going to use my email as a to-do list. I'm not going to use my inbox as a to-do list. If somebody gives me a task and I can't do it right then, I'm going to take it out of my inbox and I'm going to put it in my source of truthiness. That way, whenever you have the thought, what should I do next? You can't go to any of those other sources and you have to check the one source of truthiness.
Yeah, that's a great way of kind of bottlenecking it and helping the system. Did you hear that?
It sounded like a dog wagging his head or somebody pounding on a storm door.
My wife just did that. I wonder if she's making something. Anyways, sorry about that. Okay. Yeah. I've heard if you put the list in one place and train yourself to go to that one place, the system just works for you.
Yeah.
It takes care of itself, I should say.
And you can also create calendar reminders every morning, or I have a reminder every 3 days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to go through and do the review part where you clear out the things that you're not going to do and you add anything that you might have forgotten to add to it. And you check off the things that maybe you did, but forgot to check off, that kind of thing.
All right. So that's kind of the system, how to get better at the system. Let's kind of take a more top line view of it. So how does this relate to kind of the humans are, or what was our title? Humans are bad at stuff. So let's move it kind of back to that topic.
So again, the issue here is that very frequently, you will fail at things as a person, not just you, Jim, but you, the general you. General you? Salute. You will fail at things and you will feel bad for failing at them and you will resolve to try harder next time. And then you will fail at them again. Because the problem wasn't lack of discipline. The problem wasn't that you're forgetful. The problem wasn't that this like visceral, I want to be mean to me feeling that we have whenever we do something wrong. The problem was that all humans are bad at this thing. And you're trying to do it in a way that cuts against the grain of the human brain.
Yeah.
And you need to find a system. The system is a crutch, if you will. It's like if your car is bad at going forwards, you shouldn't keep trying to go forwards. You need to learn to drive your car backwards. That's a stupid example because cars obviously should go forwards. But you get the idea where you realize this is just not going to do what I need it to do. This brain is not able to do what I'm trying to make it do. So let me bring in a crutch that'll basically do it for me.
So people that are being kind of hard on themselves and others for having bad memories, they're kind of doing that unnecessarily.
Because exactly.
They shouldn't be expected to have this amazing memory. This resounds with me because, or this resonates with me. Yeah, this resonates with me because I have to shut my door again. Hold on.
You should put Grudem in front of it.
I should. So tried to think of a Grudem joke and nothing happened. Hey, baby. I read a book on memory. I think I've actually talked about this in the show before.
Yeah, I think we did an episode. Did I
talk about the Memory Palace?
Yeah. Not an episode.
Really
but
cool
yeah.
book. And one of the things I learned in that book is that there are people that participate and compete in mental athletic competitions. They're called mental athletes. And these are people that can perform extraordinary feats of memory. They can memorize a deck of cards, a randomized deck of cards in sequence. Mm-hmm. Can memorize poems that they have, random, newly composed poems that they've never heard before, and recite it back. Complicated sequences of numbers that they had to memorize and then repeat. Just amazing feats of memory. And a lot of these guys say there are very, very, very few people. It is rare to find a human being that is inherently, naturally gifted with memory. Mm-hmm. In fact, a particular subject in this book that was training the author to compete in a mental athletic competition, a guy who was a mental athlete before, said that the term phrase photographic memory is not actually a thing he believes in. He's never actually met someone who wasn't an autistic savant that was naturally good at memory.
Right.
They all put in the work. They all develop systems, routines, and mnemonic devices and tricks that helped them learn this, these vast, huge amounts of information.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gave me like hope, because I don't have to be upset that I'm bad at memory, a thing that I say all the time, because I truly am not gifted with memory. And I thought I might have just been kind of like more stupid than most because of that, because mm-hmm. I'm seriously bad at it. I am, like, my wife will ask me to go get something for her. If she asks me to get more than one thing for her, I'm doomed. I am just doomed. Like, I'll go get that one thing and I'll get distracted by something, because I'm just I'm a daydreamer all the time.
Mm.
And I'll come back and she'll just have this smile on her face. I'm like, what are you smiling at me for? Like, Jim, you forgot the glass of water. And I'm like, oh wow, I did. Like, what do you do, Jim, when you go out and get the things? I just thought I was a dumb guy for doing that kind of stuff. But, and maybe I'm probably pushing it a little too hard, but
that's actually, yeah, that's a known thing, that going from one room to the next tends to, like, your brain just kind of does a dump. It's like, well, whatever I was thinking about doesn't matter, because I'm someplace new now. And one trick for that is to walk through the doorway backwards. Jim, at least I think that. I might also just be tricking you.
Okay, good. David is giving me new tricks to access my system, and he is sabotaging me. As well he should. I know it's kind of a long anecdotal thing, but something that I remembered, because it was quite an interesting thing, is up until that point, I believed that there were people that had photographic memories. And there might be some, but I don't believe it's as prevalent as some think it might be. They're just really good at learning and teaching themselves tricks that are come through practice and effort versus natural gifting. So,
right. Those mnemonic devices are often things that leverage things that brains are better at. Like, we are pretty good at remembering spatial things, things that are arranged in space.
Yes, we are.
That's why our desktops are made of windows, arguably, because it brings a sense of spatiality.
Wait a minute. I thought you just said a joke. Our desktops are made of windows? What do you mean?
Sorry, like our computer desktops, your screen has a bunch of windows on it that you arrange spatially on the display.
Oh, you mean like metaphorical or I don't know what you were talking about. Okay, I got it. You're right. We are very spatial people.
And so the Memory Palace leverages that.
Yes, it does. Yeah, pretty useful device, that Memory Palace.
So one more example of this that I think is helpful before we move on, because I think I've used this example in other places for other things before. But the whole, like, you're a person who needs to go to the gym but doesn't want to go to the gym. And this time I do mean you, Jim. And yes. the thing about your brain and the thing about you as a person is that you are bad at being disciplined, especially when you first wake up in the morning and you're groggy and you just want to go back to bed. And if you wake up realize
I have grown so much with you. I have come so far. I need to be given credit. I want credit. I require credit for the amount of growth that I've achieved with you. Because if you would have said that in show 3, we would have had one of our fights. I would have put in some or inserted some music, as I do when I or you get mad. And when you just said that, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Wait. When I said what?
You are someone who needs discipline.
No. I'm sorry. Not you. Sorry. I mean, like, people, humans.
Okay. I thought you meant me.
No, I was making a fat joke when I said that you need to go to the gym. But from that point on, everything was generic thing, generic Jew.
Title? Well, no, probably not. Jim the Generic Jew. Okay. Well, good to know that you transitioned so effortlessly. I didn't even notice that you were off the joke and onto something serious. You gave me no warning.
I'm sorry.
I blame you for that.
I do throttle like that a lot. Mm. Anyway, the
so generic Jews, keep going.
So say that you're a person who is Jewish and needs a lot more discipline, and when you wake up in the morning, like, you should just know about yourself that if anything gets in the way of you going to the gym, you're probably not going to go to the gym. Like, if you wake up and you realize that, oh, I need to scrape the window on the car because it's cold out before I leave, you're probably just not going to go to the gym. You're going to give up because you didn't want to go anyway, and bed is warm and cozy and you just want to go back to it. So structure, like, some people will see that problem of, I commit to go to the gym, and then when it comes time to go to the gym, in the morning, I just don't go to the gym. I just don't. And I need to try harder and I need to try harder and I need to try harder and I need to try harder. And that's the furthest that they ever get in terms of like trying to diagnose the problem. And that's a battle that needs to be fought before you get up. That's a battle that you need to fight at night in every way that you possibly can so that future sleepy you has the best chance. You need to get out your gym clothes and get them ready. You need to park your car in the garage if that's available so that you don't have to worry about frost. You need to do all the things so that the easiest path is for you to just get up and go to the gym. Maybe you hide your regular clothes or you store your regular clothes at the gym so you can't actually get to work until you go to the gym.
Yeah, burn your clothes in a bonfire the night before.
Right, that's what Jim did with his pants when COVID-19 came out.
Burn them. What are you doing, honey? I'm burning patient zero. It's for the common good. No. No, I hear that because I have done that. Like when I really have to wake up at a certain time, like I can't play around. I need to wake up at this time. I have a much better chance of success if I'm laying there in bed the previous night saying, Jim, don't do this. Don't be you. Don't do the thing you always do. You are going to need to wake up at 6 a.m. Do it. I don't care. No snooze. Get up. When I do that, I have a much better chance of success at waking up. And arranging some certain items, having my exercise clothes ready. Like there have been times when I haven't set up my exercise clothes and haven't put them in a bag. This is when I was doing Krav Maga. You have to wear a uniform. You have to bring some gear. You have to have it in a bag. And it was just so much better if I had that ready to go. If I didn't, it was a good chance that I wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. And that's a silly, stupid thing. It would take me 4 minutes to get all my stuff ready. Mm-hmm. Just 4 minutes or probably less. But if you wake up, you don't see your pile of gym clothes ready to go. You're like, oh, I guess I'll go to bed now and feel sorry for myself. That happens. I just want to say that you're not like bringing up an unrealistic example.
Right.
Small things truly do kick us off our trajectory sometimes. It's silly.
CGP Grey takes this to an insane degree where he doesn't. So he's not afraid that he would spend too much time on Twitter, but he doesn't have the Twitter app on his phone so that he doesn't have the option so that he doesn't have to resist the urge. Like he knows that if the urge came, he would resist it. But he also knows that he has kind of a certain amount of capacity to say no to stuff like that throughout the day. And it might not be Twitter. It might be staring out the window, looking at birds for way too long because he's said to himself, no, Gray, you can't look at Twitter 5 times today. And now he's just staring out the window because he's it's called decision fatigue, I guess.
Okay. No, that's good. That's knowing yourself. That's knowing yourself. I'm just to be kind of uber serious here, not that it's our normal practice, but sometimes you have to do it. That's the people when they know their sin and they know that there are certain areas where they are probably weak in. I'm thinking guys with pornography. And if you know yourself in that area, you know that there are some things that you're going to need to eliminate from your personal life to make it so much easier to resist that temptation. Because if you get rid of those and convince yourself that you are a strong, determinate person and you will never go back to that stuff, and all you have to do is just make the decision to not do it, even though that you've kind of created some conditions that if they are there, there's a good chance you will not be able to withstand that. They're not saying that you won't be able to, but it's knowing yourself. And this isn't just for pornography. This is for a lot of different things. But it's an example I thought of. It's good for some guys to eliminate some conditions that they know because they know themselves. They know if those are gone, it'll be much easier to follow this path of good decision making.
Yep.
Is that a good example or a bad example?
Yeah, I think it's a good example. And with that, I think another really helpful thing is to just actually have stuff to do with your time, like to actually be busy. Because even, you know, King David, when he fell, he wasn't out to war with his troops.
Right. Out to war with the boys.
Yeah. And sin is kind of an interesting application of this. I wondered if this wouldn't come up because sin is one of those things where the battle is not as simple or as, if I might say, secular as something like remembering to make yourself a lunch before you go to work.
Right.
Right. Like,
I did kind of make a leap there, didn't I?
No, no, no.
Something very serious.
I think a lot of people would benefit from recognizing that their battle with whatever the sin is happens 20 minutes before they actually realize the temptation or two days before. You're I do agree with you.
Yeah, I do agree with you.
But there's also the element of the Holy Spirit. There's the element of indwelling sin. There are things beyond just being a human and being bad at things.
Well, true. Yeah, I was speaking to just the, a smaller point versus a broader point, which I think you're starting to unpack. That's not my goal. It was just in the sense of eliminating some conditions that you know would contribute to making a bad decision. That's really all I was commenting on.
Yeah, no, and I wasn't disagreeing with anything you said, but I did want to make it clear that like when I say we're bad at stuff and when you fail at stuff, like it's easy to, for a Christian to make that connection to sin. And there is a sense in which that's true, but there's also a sense in which you're not going to get anywhere in your battle against sin without the Holy Spirit's aid, without the ordinary means of grace. And those are probably way more important than strategizing, but you should also strategize.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there.
Well, and the Holy Spirit is obviously far more important, but the means of grace, like I would say Holy Spirit, means of grace. And then somewhere below those two, you have strategizing.
Sure.
So I am pretty sold on this idea.
I started
reading about it probably around 6 years ago, and kind of incorporated it to my, into my personality. And I'm always surprised, even though like, I don't know if I was always leaning this way and the book kind of clarified it for me or if this was a life-changing thing for me, but I'm just always surprised when people aren't like this. Because what's interesting is
why are you surprised?
Because I don't know. I expect people to be like me because I'm a person and people expect people to be like them. Even despite the fact that, you know, how weird you are on certain things, you still expect people to be like you in that regard. But what this leads to, I guess, is when you. So let's take the gym example. The gymnasium example, as you would say. When you fail for the third time to go to the gym, and like you need to realize, you need to take a moment to think about why you're failing consistently at this thing. And what I would consider to be strategy will look to a lot of people like beating yourself up. And what I mean by that is dwelling very intentionally with your thoughts on what went wrong that caused you to fail in this particular way.
Okay.
And there are two ways to do that. One is to literally just beat yourself up to be like, oh, well, I shoulda.
And or like in Fight Club when he just started beating himself.
We don't talk about that.
Okay. Have you seen that movie?
You know, I watched it, part of it, on a flight to Israel, and it got kind of inappropriate, and I stopped.
Kind of.
Well, maybe I stopped before it passed kind of. Anyway. Where was I going with this? The alternative thing to do in terms of like dwelling on the thing is to meticulously take apart the failure in your mind and dissect the individual pieces and figure out what were the series of little failures that probably led up to the ultimate failure.
Yeah. In a perfect world, I wish we could all do that.
And figure out how you can address those little things well in advance. So figuring out like, gee, today I didn't get up because my clothes weren't ready. And rather than beating yourself up for that, realizing like, okay, well, tomorrow night I'll just get my clothes ready ahead of time so that I don't have that excuse. And then the next day when the excuse is something else, you're systematically just kind of going through hitting the various failure points, a lot like debugging a program. And at each failure point, you fix that problem. If all you do is beat yourself up and say, oh, I should have gone to the gym and I didn't go to the gym, I'm so undisciplined, then you're not getting anywhere. But when you do this with somebody else in particular, when you say to your wife, you know, I know you agreed to make us lunches, both of us, because you want particular things for lunch and I don't care, but you might as well make mine while you're making yours. Like, but sometimes you don't make lunch until 1:30 or 2 because your schedule and the, you know, her work is kind of funky and we're off an hour from where she's located and everything. Like, that's frustrating to me because I can't really just take like 10 minutes and make myself a lunch if I've planned my day around not having to do that, my work day around not having to do that.
True. true.
So like, I don't, can we work on this system? Can we figure out why, you know, this didn't happen until 1:30 or whatever? And I've told her like 100 times, like, if you just want to say, David, make your own lunches, I can do that. I'm not going to be upset. I don't care. You've just said you're going to do the thing, so I plan on it. And all I'm asking for is that we build the system in such a way so that I find out if you're not going to make lunch before I am, you know, I already went for my walk for the day and now can't spare the time to make a lunch and eat it.
Kids and kittens listening, I just want you to know, David is not giving you a exaggerated glimpse, I don't think, of what it might sound like to hear them arguing. I think David gave you a fairly accurate rendering of what he might say in an argument like this. I think it's actually just what you said, that those are probably word tracks.
Why is this remarkable to you?
It isn't remarkable to me. I'm just telling the audience what you just heard is exactly what you think you just heard.
Well, it's clearly
this is how David sometimes
because you're remarking about it.
I'm pointing it out for comedic value, really. but I just want to.
So wait, how would a normal person approach this? That's what I want to understand.
Not that they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't break things down. They would focus on the offense,
right?
And they might ask, "Why wouldn't you just do it this way? Why won't you just do it this way?" In very simple terms.
Right.
But you are not a simple man, David. As we all know, you are not a simple man. Like the Lynyrd Skynyrd song says, you are not a simple
man. Isn't that the guy who played Spock? You are.
I am going to write this down because I think there is some ad potential there. Okay. Lynyrd Skynyrd, actor who portrayed Captain Spock, which I believe was his rank at the time of his death. Both times. No, wait. Ambassador Spock was when he died the second time. No, they would focus on the offense and probably be a little bit more emotional about it because there's an inconvenience there. They would focus on the inconvenience.
Right.
And but you, breaking it down to parts, giving the exact logical pathway to success for next time.
Right.
One would think is the proper way to doing it. But you are so unique, David. Not everyone thinks like you. But you know. Everybody knows this. You know this. I know this. Chris Ragsdale knows this. Our audience knows this.
Right.
But I just want everyone to know what you just heard is exactly what David intended you to hear. And what you are thinking is exactly what is correct.
Yeah. So, and what's interesting is... Thing. Oh, go ahead.
But Sarah, did she sign up for this? I'm sure she did. She knew you were like this.
I think she kind of did. It's a very...
She's at least adapted.
It is a very interesting problem because when people are far less... Like if this happened to me, I would of course apologize. I would say, I'm sorry. I said I was going to do the thing, but I didn't do the thing. Yeah. But I would want to figure... I wouldn't feel all that bad about it because I would realize that the problem is... that I just need, like, I would feel better about it if I can know that it's not going to happen again.
If you did this to somebody, would you honestly be receptive to the breaking down of where it broke down?
I think so. That's what I do with myself anyway.
True. But like it's different when someone else does it to you.
I guess that makes sense. I've never met anyone like me.
That's a good point. So does like Sarah, how does Sarah break down where you need to improve?
What?
How does she break down where you need to, she does. Poor Sarah broke down again last week. No, how does she approach you and how you should change? Is it in this way? Because she's an analytical person too.
Yeah, she's probably less like...
Hold on, David, can I ask you something?
What?
This happens in the history of every podcast. But I need to ask it. We're episode 86.
Are you going
to
ask me how in the heck I got married?
How does your wife still listen to this show?
Yeah. Yeah.
So does she do that to you?
Absolutely. She asks me like, hey, you're not doing this thing. Can you do it better?
And you're receptive.
And on occasion, she has specifically suggested ways that I could implement to remember the thing.
And you take that.
I think so.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, you have to ask her.
Sure.
I don't think that I take it poorly. Like again,
I was just wondering.
There's this thing here that's like, I do feel bad when I make a mistake or I fail to do something. But assuming that the mistake wasn't that big of a deal, like I didn't saw somebody's leg off, assuming the mistake was something like I made your day really, really inconvenient because you ended up not having lunch because I forgot to make lunch. And I told you that I would. Like assuming it's something relatively minor like that, where it's like, gosh, that's a right. crummy day, but like whatever, we can, you know, we'll move on. Mm-hmm. Assuming it's something like that, I derive most of my comfort from the idea that I know what went wrong, and I know that it's not going to happen again. And when I do that, I stop feeling bad about it because I know that like I do care about this person. I made a mistake. Part of it, and this is a thing that I've said to Sarah many times, is like, I couldn't have expected you to do better than this. Like this is a thing that you committed to do. It's your first time doing it. Like you don't know how to do it well because you've never done it before. Like, how could I expect you not to make mistakes? Like, I'm not upset. I just want to help you figure out how to make this happen in a better way next time.
Yeah. I mean, this is all wonderful. If this was broken down into math, you know, getting the equation right, getting the variables solved, solving for the variables, you know, has there ever been a time where you needed to, either in marriage or any other situation, have to stop communicating because you are too emotionally involved or angry and you have lost all semblance to that logic?
Are you asking if I've gotten that way?
Yeah. Does that ever happen? Does it happen to you, or do you keep yourself pretty? Do you just do the math when it comes to arguments?
I don't.
Because I have found I am not you, but I am more logical than others at times. And sometimes when there's conflict, I do kind of revert to this, well, this needs to be fixed. So let's get the logic, let's get the math out, let's get the calculator out, solve for the variables, make sure the variables are in place next time so this won't happen again. Mm-hmm. And I am met with, wow, you are a monster. like the cruel, much like when AI takes over and just rules with ruthless efficiency and logic and math. And it's just, you just feel so cold.
Artificial intelligence, not like AI.
Artificial, yeah, when Skynet takes over.
Sorry, I was thinking AI from the Bible.
Okay.
I was like, where is it?
So like, how do you, does that ever happen to you?
So I'm going to answer your question that you asked before I answer this one. I actually have met someone who's like me in this regard, and it is my boss. Okay. My boss, when things go wrong, is extremely good, and he's better at this than I am. He's extremely good at saying to me, you know, this is a mistake. It is bad on this level. Like, this is how bad it is. It's not worse than this, but it's not better than this. It's this bad. Mm-hmm. And I understand why you made it, and I would like to help make sure it doesn't happen again. Here are some suggestions. Have you considered these things? And when he does that, I love it. It makes me feel free to tell him, like, if something went wrong and like I made a bad mistake and wanted to try to cover it up, like, I don't feel like I have to do that with him because he won't overreact. He will tell me that it is as bad as it is. Mm-hmm. And he will help me figure out how to make it not happen again. And it's something that I very much appreciate about him. And he's built his whole company culture to work like that. And I've been on calls where like projects have just gone wildly over budget because reasons, and there are reasons that are understandable, but some people could have done these things to prevent that from happening. And we're even suggesting things like myself and my coworkers are even suggesting things where it's like, well, have you considered how we screwed up in this way? We could have done this differently too. Mm-hmm. And I love that about the company culture. So I have met somebody who is something like that, but in regards to the second question, I have met somebody and I think I generally handle it well. In regards to the second question, I think that it's easy for me to be upset enough about a thing that I really desperately want to make sure it doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And want to insist on having the conversation when it's still fresh, when... you know, again, to use Sarah as an example, when she is still feeling bad about what she did and how it ruined my day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we get into this state where she wants to, not blame shift is the wrong thing. She wants to make it clear that to me that she's not a monster. Like she wants me to know that she's not awful. She doesn't hate me. She's not the worst wife ever, which I've never thought. But she really wants me to understand that. And I kind of don't care because I'm not mad at her. I'm not upset at her
for those reasons.
I just really want to make sure that I'm upset that the thing happened. I see the thing as kind of being an entity that exists in the world that came into being by her hand, but not by her intention. Yeah. And I just want to make sure that she doesn't accidentally wave the wand that causes things to happen in a way that makes that happen again. Like, that's kind of how I see it, is it's like,
all right,
like where you stepped on my foot and like, I don't blame you for that because like, it's not like you did it with malice. It's not like you did it intentionally, but you know, maybe if you wore your glasses when you got up to walk around, she doesn't need her glasses in this way, but this is an analogy. Okay. If you wore your glasses, or maybe do we need to turn the lights up? Like, is there a way to, you know, preserve my toes? Like, I'm not upset with you. I just don't like that this happened and don't want it to happen again. And the more severe, you know, go ahead.
I don't know if I'm being a chameleon. I'm like that sometimes where I take on and I'm more agreeable to the person I'm talking to, maybe to make peace or to find common ground or to relate. I think I might have that instinct and I'm kind of doing that with you. And I'm trying to make sure that I think I need to stop doing that because when I step outside myself and if I hear that, that might make me crazy. You know,
what do you mean?
It might make me nuts to hear you say that. And I'm having trouble articulating why. I really am. I'm not trying to, because maybe if I was in an aggravated state and I heard you say that, I may want to strangle you. and it's my fault for not being able to articulate why, but I'm just going to say that I want to know why. I want to explore more in my own personal life why that is. Because I want to, if everyone did what you did or what you want to do in a situation, conflict resolution, I think the world would be a much better place, dude. We'd be in a much better place. So ironically, it's taken me 86 episodes to say this, but I think we should all be more like you.
Something to Sarah's credit, when these things happen, I think is that she probably cares about inconveniencing me in general far more than I care about being inconvenienced. And part of that is because there are some things that I am extremely particular about, things that don't make any sense and that Sarah had to just get used to because I was going to go nuts if certain things weren't a certain way. So for example, I'm pretty rigid about mealtimes. Like, I just want to know when a meal's going to happen. It doesn't have to always happen at the same time, but I don't want to find out a half hour before mealtime that mealtime's going to be later. Obviously, there are exceptions and things that happen. Man. But like, if mealtimes just generally ebb and flow, like we'll eat lunch sometime between 10:30 and 2, that's going to really bother me. Like, we can't build our lives that way.
Man, my family, we don't do that at all. We are so loose with our time.
So is Sarah's family. And it drives me mad when we visit. And now we live here.
So you like keep like a stash of SpaghettiOs in your closet?
No, because I wouldn't do that because I consider that rude. Like I can't. I'm just, if I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And that's just the way that it's going to be.
David's playing.
And I'm going to be sad and upset and grumpy about it.
Oh boy.
So there are things that I'm very particular about. And then there are things that she expects me to be way more upset about than I actually am. Yeah. And so in those moments where I am kind of frustrated about the thing, not at her, I'm not mad at her, but I really, 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 really want to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I want to get this resolved and I will not feel okay about this thing until I know with a degree of certainty that this thing is not going to happen again. And this depends on the severity of the problem. So like,
right.
I don't know what a 10 would be, but probably on this scale, not being able to eat lunch or what have you is probably like a 5 out of 10, maybe a 6.
Sure.
Cause your productivity goes down in the afternoon if you're hungry.
But I believe that,
and I should point out, like, working from home, this is a little bit different. This was primarily when I would go to, work. I still feel somewhat similarly about this, but it's more relaxed now because it's easier for me to just grab a snack. But when you're at work, you can't just grab a snack.
Yeah. Well, unless you work where I work, they provide snacks for you
in the laundry room,
someplace. No, they deliver them. No.
So anyway, when things reach a 7 or a 6, Sarah is pretty upset about it, and me trying to resolve it. There's not really a way for me to do it that doesn't feel to her like me trying to make her feel bad. And so we get into this state where all that I want is for us to figure out exactly what went wrong and pick this thing apart and make sure it doesn't happen again. And all that Sarah wants is to not talk about it and kind of like make it clear that she's not an awful person and move on. And I'm like, I cannot move on. I need to make sure that this thing doesn't happen again. I'm not mad at you again. I could say this 100 times.
Do you insist?
Oh, I think I'm getting better. You'd have to ask her. I've gotten better at coming up with the language around it, and she's gotten better at telling me, like, we've kind of figured out that what we need to be able to do is say that this is what's happening. We need to be able to say, like, oh, I can see that you're upset by this. I will feel a little bit better about this if you tell me that we can pick this thing apart. And I know it will make you feel better to know that I'm not mad at you, even though you might not believe me because you're mad at you for me.
Yeah. I know you didn't really want to talk about too much about the conflict resolution or lack thereof. I don't know, between you and Sarah. I don't know if this has been solved yet. Sometimes you just got to put a pin in it, David. And speaking of putting a pin in it, we're going to put a pin in this discussion. I think we've come to somewhat of an endpoint. I know I'm really bad at this, apparently, coming to endpoints on discussions. I just kind of leave things trailing. And it's just a way to keep our audience engaged for when we pick the discussion back up. Or probably not. So, David, I think this has been fun. I wanted to spend more time on the marital thing because I think it's very applicable to much of our audience. I think people get a kick out of this and learn something from it at the same time. And how we relate to our spouses. And all the ways it can go wrong.
one more quick 9CV thing here is, I think Sarah is most people in this. I think that, like, I don't want to come off as having painted her as like a bad person or a bad guy.
David, I don't think that has been accomplished, my friend.
What?
I don't think that's the case. I don't think anyone got that at all.
Oh, okay.
They've been listening to you talk and they're like, huh, this David guy. Though, if they're 86 episodes in like we are, I think they're fine with this. They know this about
us.
I don't think any harm has been done.
Probably it just redounds to her credit that she is married to me. Like, she's still here.
She is remarkable. I gotta tell you. I don't think there's any worries there. Okay. But, you know, it's okay to say it. I think we're going to go ahead and pause this discussion and not pick it back up. No, I'm kidding.
We'll address it and follow on.
End our show. Trying to keep the show short-ish these days. And we got to give something good to our listeners. And I believe shorter shows are better. So we're going to go ahead and end this. I'm going to go ahead and eat some dinner and get started with some small group. I am well lubricated. I've had a beer and a glass of whiskey. So I think I'm quite ready. And I'm going to tell everyone the first thing I say, David, is that David says hi. I'm going to do that. You're going to ask me next week to confirm.
In follow-up, can you talk about how you would resolve something like this?
I'm going to write that down. We'll see if I remember to say it. It'll be a test of how I apply this episode.
I'll try to remember too.
Your teachings. How I resolve with wife.
Specifically conflict when something she does inconveniences you in a non-trivial way. Ben's going to hate this episode.
Why? Why is he going to hate this episode?
I don't know. He's just going to be yelling at me. I don't know what he's going to be yelling at me, but he's going to be yelling at me.
I cannot wait to read Slack. He's one of the few listeners that listens weekly. The episode that is released that week, he listens to that one. Everyone's kind of backlogged these days, so we don't get a lot of follow-up. But Ben, that guy, I can depend on him to give me good follow-up on you.
Jim Briggs, reader of Slack, wearer of none.
Hey! I wish that could be an episode title, but it is too long. But we'll add it to the legend. That is the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast. Truly one of the more unique shows in the Reformed world. Oh boy, what have we done? You know, I think this show would have so many more listeners if I wasn't a part of it. I'm starting to realize that I think this is, I'm just having fun, having a good old time doing character voices and doing skits and the kind of weird sense of humor that I have. I realize that I think I am the reason why we are not farther than we should be.
I think I'm the reason.
And are you sure? I don't think so.
I think that
because there's a lot of shows to me. There are shows that are very popular with people that have zero personality and are just talking about theology. And there's nothing unique to
it. But we're not doing that.
Those shows, I think one of the reasons why we're not farther than we should be is because of me and all the weird, funny things. Because every funny person thinks they're funnier than they actually are. And I think that applies to me. I think my sense, I've seen this at work. I like to make jokes and have fun. I don't think I did the pants joke. I only did that once. But anyways, I've made a ton of jokes. And like some people just don't laugh. They just kind of look at me. And I'm like, I got to remember this. I am not as funny as I am funny, but it's like a certain specific sense of humor that you have to be used to. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I find people don't laugh at my jokes until they've gotten to know me and they realize that I'm joking.
Okay. I guess people just have to spend a little bit more time with our show in order to get used to it than other shows. A lot of shows, it's plug and play.
Well, the good news is our episodes are each 4.5 hours long.
Yeah, I know. We give them lots of opportunity to get to know us. But anyways, we're just going to keep trucking along. Like our Facebook page, folks. Like the content, share the content, and give us iTunes reviews. Just engage, people. Come on. We got to get this thing back on the road, sucka. And that's what we're going to do.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Won't someone save me from this podcast? Is it over or just dragging along? Will these two guys talk forever? Or will they quit if I sing them this song? My back is sore from all this flagellation. Podcast. The torture started off so tongue in cheek. Now it seems it's almost over. So I'll just have to wait.